Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and would like to remind you that we are a listener-supported program now, and we would love to hear from you, love your prayerful and financial support. We do have a P.O. Box here in Linden, Washington. Remember, that is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Well, we are continuing our study here of the church in Sardis, and I want to read that today and have us think about again just what's being said to us with regard to this church in Sardis and how this one is so relevant for us today to consider what is a faithful church, but also to consider what is an alive church. What does the Lord consider a church that is showing and demonstrating the work of the Holy Spirit in it? Life. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, remember the challenge of this particular church. Outwardly, they had a name. Outwardly, they were powerful. Outwardly, everyone thought that this was the most happening church in town. But notice what Jesus is saying here. "I see the reality." This is a crucial distinction all over the Bible. Jesus was constantly talking about it. There's a crucial difference between outward appearance and inward reality. And if we are at all going to be faithful in testing the Spirit to see whether they be of God, we've got to get beyond the superficial externalism that has happened in the church today. Do you remember Romans 12? I talked about this yesterday. So important. When the apostle called us to let our love be without hypocrisy, it was to be without masks. Now, this was something that Jesus was constantly dealing with. He was dealing with the problem of people drawing near to him with their mouths, but their hearts were far from him. So Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees. Remember, he warned us, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes. They love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best place at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Everything they did, all their prayers, all their giving, all of their works, all of their religion, everything was being done to be validated by men." And it was so bad that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, "All their works they do to be seen by men, they make their phylacteries broad. They enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of lawlessness." So here's the same thing, that outwardly this church looked great, but inwardly it was dead. It was dying from hypocrisy. This is so important. You know, here's the thing to think about. I might look at a church in the phone book that has the best programs, the best building, the most numbers, and say, "Hey, that's got to be, it's so pleasing externally. It's so pleasing with the music. It's so pleasing in what I like. But here's the thing. Jesus is exposing that we have to look beyond that to what Scripture says. Remember, what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So this problem knows no kind of favorites. In other words, I could have the best worship team in town. I could have the most hip praise band. I could do all of that. I could have the best building, the best espresso, or I could have the best liturgical worship service in town. I could say the Apostles' Creed. I could do everything that has just been done throughout the church. And if it's all done outwardly, and it's not done inwardly, not to the glory of God, if it's just done with the mouth and not with the heart, I am dead. As one pastor said, we can recite the creed, we can say the confession, we can join in the prayers, while our minds and hearts are far from God. It makes no difference whether the church is liturgical or non-liturgical, whether it's marked by Catholic ritual or Protestant austerity, the same unreality may be present. Now, this is very important. This is why Jesus said we have to be born again. This is why the heart has to be circumcised. This is why we need life planted there by the Spirit so that what we do is in sincerity. So Jesus here focuses on the pastor of Sardis, and that is just the case that what most influences a church into hypocrisy is the leadership. So what happens? What does a church look like when it's dying? Well, it's more concerned in the ministry just to force conformity to its interpretations of the law than it is to bring the freedom of the gospel. In the preaching, it's more concerned to validate itself rather than bring glory to Christ. In doctrine, it's more concerned to justify its own positions to the condemnation of everyone else who doesn't believe like them. In discipline, it's more concerned about how the church looks than doing what is honoring to the Lord. In works, it's more concerned to be seen by others than to please the Lord by doing it in secret, praying in the closet. You see what I'm saying? The whole thing is an outward facade. Hypocrisy is a danger. It's a danger in all of us. And when people see this, when people see a church that is not of a sincere motive, of a sanctified heart, the church will die. Even though we have a building, even though we have the most powerful things going on, we should always evaluate, we should always think through whether our ministries are sincere. And I said yesterday, you know how many people are wearied of the church because of the problem of hypocrisy? A lack of being a sincere church in our mission and love kills the missionary calling of Christianity. In other words, our sincerity should have two aims: the glory of God, always the glory of God, and the way that glory, the way we give ourselves to magnify the Lord is to make known His salvation with the goal of making known Jesus Christ to the salvation of those who hear. It's about ministering the exceeding greatness of this power of Jesus Christ to you who believe, that the Spirit of glory and of God would rest upon you and that your joy would be complete. This is the aim. It's not just, the church is not just a place where we are comfortable for validating our own kind of folk. That's an extreme kind of hypocrisy. We have the responsibility to minister and make place for all of the souls the Lord sends us, of whatever background they may be, rich or poor. We minister to all. We've got a lot of work to do. But can you imagine being in a church where everything that is done is not sincere? You ever seen that in a church? Everything's only superficial. It's all about conformity, and there's no real life-changing power that goes on, the power of the Holy Spirit. This challenges us to be very pure in our motives for being here, remembering why we have a church. And when the work of the church is not sincere, when it's lost, its whole missionary purpose is attacked. I want us to think a little bit today about what Jesus commissioned us with. Remember in the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. Jesus was saying that all authority was his. And what then did he commission the church to do? We are to have a two-pronged ministry. It is a word ministry and a sacrament ministry. This is the means of grace. This is where our focus is. This is what the Lord has ordained to save those who believe. The means of grace. In other words, as we teach all the things the Lord has commanded, as we have the teaching ministry of the church, the preaching ministry of the church, as the gospel is heralded, people come to faith in Jesus. And then we give them a visible sign of their union with Jesus, which is baptism, a sign and a seal of the washing that comes by faith, a sign and a seal of the inward washing that the Holy Spirit gives. My point is, as a church is sincere in desiring that God's people know the truth and the truth set them free, as a church is sincere in reaching out to everyone who is made in the image of God with the goal of making known the glorious riches of Christ, as people hear that, as the church is sincere in that, the Lord is doing a great work in pulling so many out of darkness. When a church is not sincere in that, they make very little headway, very little effect, very little progress in fulfilling the very commission the church is set apart to. I said last week, what good is a church if it doesn't stand on the truth? This week, I say, what good is a church if it's not sincere in loving, loving without hypocrisy? This is what the Lord is calling us to. And so he says here in verse 2, wake up, strengthen what remains. If a church is dead, let me ask this, what remains? Well, Jesus says you have the responsibility to strengthen what is left. So if he's looking at the pastor, which I believe he is, what needs to be strengthened, dear pastor in Sardis? It's interesting in verse 4 that he says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who've not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That's an amazing verse. That even in a church that is considered dead, do you realize this? The Lord still has his people there. We need to remember that. That even when today the church is as bad as it is, or we think it can get so bad, and the Lord has told us how many problems the churches have, we may think, oh, the church is so awful today. There's no more things going on there. The church is done. We are so negative about the church. The Lord is telling us something here. He always has a remnant. You need to remember that. Jesus always has his people wherever his church is found. And he's calling us to care deeply for his people. This is an encouragement today to remember. As Jesus said, the Lord will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We need to be faithful to minister the gospel in sincerity as the Lord saves souls and brings them into the kingdom that they might come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We are a listener-supported program. We need your prayerful and financial support to keep these going. Write us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.